Mishnah.
Well, no, none of us has the Rebbe's background.
That Okay, let's make a start. We'll try and keep awake. Be'ezus Hashem, I'm sure this will keep us awake. Asimcha gives adrenaline, so Nitzashim.
Is this your first?
No, it's not second enough. I always one got married a year ago almost.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
As we were talking, I heard last night that the Rosh Yeshiva has been keeping his eye on Meir for the last year and a half.
At least, yes. How do you know? Who do you hear that from?
I heard it from Mrs. Garfinkel.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, he's had his eye on him for a while, and she's very young, the girl. She just turned 19. So I think, yeah, he had his eye on him from when she was about 17. He called me about a year ago, but we did it now. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. So yeah, no, there was no Shatkin, but Rosh Hashiva was the Shatkin.
He mean it, I don't mean to take the time, but he calls you up and he says, "Listen, my daughter's not there yet, but I'm thinking about a fussing for her. I'm looking at your son. Is that okay with you?" Is that the type of conversation it was?
Yeah, pretty much. Except
Wow, amazing.
it was only for it, but yeah, pretty much. What's it, Ramesh Zelig, you know his brother, Tzvika Wilson, is up
Yeah, of
the
course. Of course, know him well.
road.
Wow. It's a really a very special family.
Yeah, Baruch
As
Hashem.
is the Rav's family.
Yeah, I'm
Amazing.
not sure about that, but Meir is a very special boy, Baruch
He
Hashem.
certainly is.
Okay, so let's make a start. Says the Mishnah, Kohen Godel don v'donin oisoi me'id u'me'idin oisoi. So the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush in Kohen Godel that number one,
Maybe not.
don means he can be a dayan. Why that should be a chiddush, the Gemara will discuss. V'donin oisoi, and we judge him, meaning if he needs to stand for trial in the Beis Din, then he does not have immunity, or have to see why is that a chiddush. Number two, number three, me'id, he can be an aid, he can testify, and fourthly, u'me'idin oisoi, and they can testify about him. So that's four chiddushim. I guess numbers two and four are pretty similar, that they can judge him and testify against him. Why that would be a chiddush, the Gemara will discuss. So let's move on immediately. Choylates v'choyltzin le'ishtay. So we know what chalitza is. Chalitza is the process in which you have yibum, a man who dies without children. So his wife is not free to marry whoever she wants, even though she's just become a widow. She has to marry the brother of her deceased husband. But the brother can choose, in fact, not to marry. If he marries her, that's called yibum. He can choose to reject her. As we know, he removes the shoe, etc., etc. And that's called chalitza. But until such point that she receives either chalitza or does yibum, she is not free to marry anybody on planet Earth. So the Mishnah is telling us that the Kohen Gadol is choletz. What does that mean? Is choletz? So if the Kohen Gadol's brother dies without children, which means that his widow falls for yibum to the Kohen Gadol can do chalitza. Can he do yibum? He cannot do yibum, as the Mishnah is about to explain for reasons that we'll see in a moment. So he can do chalitza. Remember, you've always got to do one of the two, either yibum or chalitza. So he can do chalitza, and so too v'choyltzin le'ishtoi. So too one would do chalitza to his wife. So if the Kohen Gadol himself passed away without any children, so his widow, what happens to her? She too must receive either chalitza or yibum from the Kohen Gadol's brother, and indeed, one does chalitza to the wife of the Kohen Gadol. What does one not do? Says the Mishnah, u'meyabmin es ishtoi. One would do yibum to his wife. Again, if the Kohen Gadol died without any children, So we just said that one could do chalitza to his wife, but one could also do yibum to his wife. So the Kohen Gadol's brother would have the option either of marrying or rejecting yibum or chalitza to the widow of the Kohen Gadol, but he's got to do one of the two. But here comes the exception. Aval hu einoy miyabim. But the Kohen Gadol himself cannot do yibum. The Kohen Gadol himself can never do yibum. So again, if the brother of the Kohen Gadol passes away, she falls for yibum to the Kohen Gadol. We said there's two options, either chalitza or yibum. The Kohen Gadol cannot do yibum. Why can the Kohen Gadol not marry the woman?
We lost him.
Rabbi. Rabbi, speak. Just speak.
We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Strange. Okay, but he cannot do yibum. Why can he not do yibum? Says the Mishnah, mipnei shehu asur ba'almona. Because a Kohen Gadol, we know, has to marry only a basula, somebody who's never been married before. So therefore, he will not be able to do yibum. He cannot marry somebody who's previously been married. Yes, Reb Larry.
If there's no halal, if there's no chiyuv of yibum, chalitza is, he who chose not to do his mitzvah of yibum has to do chalitza. So is done to a person who doesn't choose yibum. If there's no halacha of yibum, how can there be chalitza? There's no chiyuv of yibum on him. He's not saying, I could do yibum, but I'm choosing not to, therefore I have to do chalitza. Why would chalitza be appropriate here? There's no chiyuv of yibum.
Okay, you're asking a good question. We'll see on the next Amud Mishashim. Right at the bottom. Yeah, we'll discuss this. A good question. Okay, you can hear me, by the way, then it's sending me funny messages. Yeah, you can hear me loud and clear.
Yes.
Okay, Vaita. So again, we've just said four halachas. He can do chalitza, and one can do chalitza to his wife. One could do yibum to his wife, but he himself cannot do yibum. Why can he not do yibum? Because he cannot marry somebody who's previously been married. So Larry's asking a fantastic question. Chalitza lechoira. Chalitza lechoira. Chalitza lechoira is always the other side of the coin of yibum. So therefore, if you reject your sister-in-law and you do not marry her, you do chalitza. But if you're not allowed to marry her, then you're not called rejection. So for example, what would be in the following case? Imagine two brothers married two sisters, which is allowed to happen. I know people who have done it. Now, Reuven and Shimon married Rachel and Leah. And now Reuven dies. So what happens now to Reuven's wife, Leah? Shimon is married to Rachel, and Shimon is not allowed to marry Leah because you're not allowed to marry two sisters as long as they're both alive. So this is where Larry's rule comes into play. Because he cannot do yibum to her, because he's not allowed to marry her. Why not? Because she's the sister of his wife. Well, neither is chalitza necessary either. Because if there's no possibility of yibum, then you cannot have chalitza either. So therefore, the question, l'chayra, should be asked. So too, l'chayra, in the case of the Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol cannot marry his sister-in-law, why? Because she's a previously married woman. Well then, what's the difference if you can't marry her because she is your wife's sister, or you can't marry her because you happen to be the Kohen Gadol, you're not allowed to marry an almona? Either way, the bottom line is you can't marry her. And if you can't marry her, there's no yibum. And if there's no yibum, there shouldn't be chalitza either. So why is the Mishnah telling me he can't do yibum, but he can do chalitza, which means he must do chalitza? So it's a good question. Excellent question.
By the way, this halacha is only for a Kohen Gadol, or a Kohen is allowed to marry an Amon?
The Kohen's allowed to. He's not allowed to marry a divorcee, but he's allowed to marry an Amon. Okay, you're asking a good question. I do not have the teretz at the moment, although the Gemara on the base does discuss our Mishnah, but I can't see it discusses this. It could be. I'd have to look into the commentators. I wonder if any of does Art Scroll point this out, by the way? Do they speak about this comment? Larry's question is a great question. I could make a distinction. You could draw a distinction. One could perhaps raise an argument that you cannot marry your wife's sister. That's a relationship issue. You cannot be married. Whereas over here, the Kohen Gadol, it's not you can't marry because of the relationship. It's just of a technicality. She happens to be an almona. But it's not because she's related to you. Some people you're not allowed to marry because it's the parasha of Aroyos. But either way, I'd have to check this out. It's a good question. Okay, let's continue the Mishnah, Rabbi Isai. Says the Mishnah on the fourth line, Mace loy mace. What is mace loy mace? Mace loy mace is always the expression for when a close family dies, Rachmona Litzlan. So if a close member of his family died, now as we know, a Kohen Gadol has very, very strict laws of Tumah. A Kohen Hedyoit also has strict laws. A Kohen, as we know, is not allowed to become Tomei for anybody in the world besides for his seven most close relatives. Father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, and wife. But the Kohen Gadol cannot even become Tomei for them either. In fact, does anybody know there's only one person in the world of the Kohen Gadol can become Tomei? Anybody know what that is?
Meis Mitzvah.
Correct. A Meis Mitzvah means there's nobody else to attend to the dead body. The Kohen Gadol will have to take care of it. Otherwise, even his closest family members, he cannot become Tomei. So what does he do? Does that mean he can't even attend the Levaya? What exactly are the halachas? So the Mishnah tells us, Meis loy meis, einoy yoitze achar habito. He cannot follow the coffin. Why can he not follow the coffin? Halacha is a little bit difficult to understand. We'll see Rashi in a moment. I understand that he can't carry the coffin, because if he carries the coffin, so he's touching the dead body, or touching the casket, which is holding the dead body. But if he's merely walking after following the coffin, well, what would be the problem? So look at Rashi, the first Rashi in the Perek. Kohen Gadol eino yoitzer achar mita. Why? You're right. It's not because he is touching it, but it's a concern that he might. Dilma, perhaps, osa, he will come. Laminga, which means from the words noigea, to touch. So he might come to touch it. Now, this is a tremendous chiddush, and we have to learn this properly. Listen to Rashi very carefully. Vahainu da'azhar kro, and this is what the posuk is warning, when it says, quote unquote, umin hamikdosh lo yetze. Now, that is a quote. That is a quote which is written in Parashas Emor, which is all the halachas of the Kohenim. So let's translate that posuk literally, and we'll see in a moment Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, does translate the posuk literally. We do not. If we were to translate that posuk literally, Umina Mikdosh lo yetze, he shall not leave the Beis HaMikdosh. That's all it says. So he's working in the Beis HaMikdosh, he's doing his avoda, he hears the bad news, he's got to remain where he is and continue doing the avoda. We, however, do not understand the posuk to be literal. Rather, Rashi now continues, Umin amikdosh lo yetze, quote unquote, mikdushasoy lo yetze. We translate the posuk not, do not leave the Beis HaMikdosh, do not leave your Kedusha. Do not exit your Kedusha. Now that's a very strange type of phrase. What do you mean, don't exit your Kedusha? Why can't you just say straightforward, don't become Tommy? So obviously this is not referring to the Issa of becoming Tommy. We know a Kohen Gadol can't become Tommy. So what's this additional issa? Do not exit your kedusha, says Rashi. What does it mean? Mikdushasa leyetze kloimar. This means to say yisrachek min hakiyur. He must distance himself from any potential problem. Shaloi yovoi lidei tuma. He shouldn't do anything which would raise a concern that he might come to tuma. So therefore, the way Rashi explains, in addition to the normal issa that a Kohen Gadol cannot become tomei, the Torah has added the words umin hamikdash lo yetze, which means do not exit your kedusha, which means not only don't become tomei, don't even be involved in activity where you may become tomei. Distance yourself from a problematic situation. And what would be the example of that? As we just said, don't follow the coffin. Touching the coffin has nothing to do with this issa. That's a separate issa of not becoming tomei. But this additional issa is don't even put yourself in a situation where you might become tomei. And we'll point out in a second why this is a chiddush. Yes, Rav Ron.
Why does the Mishnah have to tell us mace lo mace when it actually a Kohen Gadol is usur and he's not allowed to do it to anybody, including his relatives? So right. Why specifically is it referring to specifically his relatives?
So it could be because this is the chiddush of the Kohen Gadol, which means if it would just say somebody died, then you'd say, well, that's not specific to a Kohen Gadol because that's true for a Kohen Hedyot as well.
True.
Okay. Therefore, we're deliberately mentioning family members to draw that distinction that a Kohen Hedyot would be allowed, a Kohen Gadol is not. This whole parakatish malachas of Kohen Gadol. Now, let's continue the Rashi.
Rabbi, maybe this concept is also why the Kohen Gadol does chalitza, just to separate from the option of doing Yibum.
Yeah, but that was Larry's question.
I know, I'm saying maybe that's an answer to it.
And why? There's no chiv in the first place. There's no mitzvah b'chol. The neighbor also doesn't have to do chalitza because there's no mitzvah yibum. L'chayra, we only ever find the mitzvah of chalitza where there is, parallel to that, the possibility of the mitzvah of yibum. If there's no mitzvah of yibum, there's nothing to reject. Either way, let's continue with Rashi. Rashi says, v'haikra, this posuk is b'koyin godol oinein ksiv. It's written with regard to a koyin godol oinein. What's an oinein? You remember this from Bracha, somebody who, an immediate relative, unfortunately, has passed away. It's prior to the kvura. And the Torah says, what does he do? Umin hamikdash lo yetze. Diksiv le'el minei, because it says above that, le'oviv le'imoi, quote unquote, lo yitamo, the whole posuk, he should not become tomei for his father and mother. Therefore, this is the posuk that teaches us about a Kohen Gadol who would, in theory, want to attend the funeral. And the posuk is telling me, not only must he not become tomei, but he has to distance himself from even possibly becoming tomei. Now, why is this a chiddush?
So I apologize. Go ahead.
This is a chiddush because it's a rare example, although by no means the only example. Normally, we are used to the Torah telling me in many, many places, don't do A. Chazal come along and they say, midrabanon, don't do B either. It's a gezeira because you might come to A. Okay, so the Torah says, don't eat basa b'cholov. But the Torah only prohibits and basa from an animal, not basa from an oif, from a bird. So Chazal say, well, you better keep distance, i.e. don't even have basa from a bird either. Why? Because if you do, you're too close for comfort, and you might therefore make a mistake and have basa from a behemoth. So normally, almost always, whenever we find an issa, don't do X, because you might end up being over Y, that invariably is an issa derabanan. Here we have a rare example of the Torah itself putting up that barrier. The fact that a Kohen Gadol is not only not allowed to become tomei, but he's not allowed to be in a situation where he might end up becoming tomei, you'd expect that to be a type of classic derabanan, chazal. No, it's actually learned from a pasuk. Now, like I said, it's a rare example, but by no means the only example. Can anybody think of another example of when the Torah forbids A because you might end up being over B? The classic example is the Nazir. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, but the Torah says, so too, don't even have grapes. Grapes is not Yain. So the way Chazal explained, because if he has grapes, he might end up being over the Issa of drinking wine. Another example, some explain, you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, but the Torah also says, don't even have it in your house. And some explain that's the same principle. Don't have it in your house because you may, therefore, end up eating it. So we definitely have an example. Another classic example would be the Issa of Yichud. Yichud, what's Yichud? A man and a woman who are forbidden to marry each other must not be alone in a room or in a house. Why not? They're not doing anything. The answer is because once they are in a situation of Yichud, they may end up being involved in a relationship which is awesome in our Torah. So there you see once again the principle. Really, the Issa is Gilui Aroyos. So this man must not be with somebody else's wife, even just that. The main Issa is not to live with her. But here, even just sitting in the room together is an Issa. Why? Because you may come and end up being over Gilui Aroyos. So like I said.
Is that Durabonon, though?
No,
it's
a deraisa. So therefore, like I said, even though it's a rare example, but it's definitely not the only example, we definitely have examples of where it's actually the Torah itself who not only prohibits A, but also puts up the barrier B. Rabbi Larry, you wanted to point something out?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. The Kohen Gadol is a unique person in that there are mitzvahs in halacha that he's the only one in all of Klal Yisrael can do. I mean, besides the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur, I'm sure the Avodah, I'm sure there are other things. So what happens when he's a no-name and he can't perform mitzvahs?
There is a Sgan Kohen Gadol. That's the opening in Yuma. It says, the very, very first line in Mishnah says that you have to have a deputy Kohen Gadol just in case. For example, at the last moment, he becomes unwell or becomes tummy. Yeah, you'd always have a Sgan Kohen Gadol. The question would become, and that's the first Mishnah in Yuma, well, maybe we should have a deputy to the deputy. What happens if two? And then the Mishnah says, well, maybe you have a deputy to the deputy to the deputy, etc., etc. That's the discussion. How far do you take this concern? Okay, so either way, this is the tremendous chiddush that we're learning in our Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol not only may he not obviously carry the Oroin, because he can't become Tomei, neither may he follow the Oroin, the Mitzvah, because the Torah prohibits not only becoming Tomei, but even being in a situation where you might end up being Tomei. Now, let's continue. Says the Mishnah, so the Mishnah details exactly what exactly does he do at a funeral. Does that mean he's not allowed to attend at all? So the Mishnah says as follows, Elo, rather, what happens? Hein nichsin. Nichsin, like the word kisui, cover. They become covered. In other words, they disappear from eye view. Vahu nigle, and then he's allowed to appear. Hein niglin. But if they appear once again, vahu nichse, well, then he's got to disappear. Vayoytse, Rashi would explain this in a moment. Vayoytse imohen ad pesach shar ho'ir. And that way he is allowed to follow the coffin. So not in immediately proximity, but he can, at the end of the day, attend the Levaya all the way until the Shar Ha'ir, until the gates of the town, following which they have the Beis HaKvaris, and obviously he cannot enter the Beis HaKvaris. Says Rashi, Hein Nichsin V'hu Nigla. Now we know there's a concept we find in many, many sugyas in Shas of a Movui. A mavui sometimes is translated in English as into a cul-de-sac, but either way, it's like a little closed street. And then you leave that, and then you go to the next closed street. Now, if you are in street A, with the mitah, with the aura, and the Kohen Gadol cannot enter street A. But when it, for example, turns the corner and enters the next mavui, that's what it means, hey nichsin, when they become now disappeared from sight, that's when the Kohen Gadol can now enter street A. So he's always, as it were, one street behind, not within eye view of the Orin. Says Rashi. Hey nichsin v'hu nigle. Kershe hein yoitzin mimovuizeh. When they exit this first movui, this first street, v'nichnosin l'movui acher, and they now enter the next movui, the next street. V'nichsin mimovui horishen. They have now become concealed from the first street because they've entered the second. She'enoi roye oison. Because you cannot possibly see them because they're out of eye view, they're in the next street. Then hu nigle. Well, then he can become revealed, meaning then he can appear. V'nichnas l'movui horishen. So now they've entered street number two. So now the Kohen Gadol finally can enter street number one. V'hein nichsin mimovui hasheni. Eventually they will become covered, concealed from the second street. In other words, when they eventually enter the third street, well, v'hu nigle v'nichnas l'toichai. So then once again, he can appear and enter it. So he's always one street behind. He's never in eye view of the mitzvah. Yeah.
What about in the case of a mavoi, and basically you have the Kohen standing within a chatzer, within the mavoi?
Right, right.
He's still hidden.
Yeah, so we'll see. That's a discussion. We'll see. It's all a whole omer in your daf yotes. Okay. Now, says the Mishnah, all of that is divrei Rabbi Meir. So what was Rabbi Meir's chiddush? As we said before, he's taking the pasuk of min hamikdash lo yetze, and he's learning the pasuk is non-literal. It doesn't translate literally, do not enter the Beis HaMikdash, do not exit, the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, it's do not exit your tumah, which is a fancy way of saying, do not even put yourself on the verge of tumah.
Do not exit your tahara.
Do not exit your kedusha, quite right. Do not exit your kedusha. So for their translating, Rav Meir's translating, min hamikdash lo yetze, do not exit your kedusha. Do not exit your kedusha. Says the Mishnah, that's all Rav Meir. But Rav Yehuda Omer, eino yetze min hamikdash. So he translates literally. Mishum shenema, o min hamikdash lo yetze. So he learns the pasuk absolutely literally. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda, says Rashi, Dorish, he makes a drosha, min hamikdosh, quote unquote, dafka. What does dafka mean? It's literal. So we really have to understand, why does the first opinion, why does Rav Meir not understand that? Meaning, if ever you want to learn that a pasuk is non-literal, you have to have some license to do so. Because the default position will always be translate the pasuk literally unless you have some reason not to do so. So therefore, at the moment, we understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Don't leave the Beis HaMikdash, that's a simple translation. Rabbi Meir, for some reason, does not translate this pasuk literally, and he translates it not, don't leave the Beis HaMikdash, but don't exit your Kedusha, don't even put yourself on the verge of Tumah, meaning don't attend the funeral, unless you're out of eyes view. So we'll have to see whether the Gemara discusses, how does he know to do this?
Does this have anything to do with the pasuk, Vasista Mikdash v'shachanti besocha? That you should make a Mikdash in your own?
Or not, but we'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara. Okay, I have to hold it over here, Be'ez Hashem. Everybody is invited to the Erusin tonight. Nobody should feel obliged to come. Anybody who can come would be very special. If not, in Mitz Hashem for the wedding, Mishal Teva, and we should only hear good news. And Basura's Teva, so Mitz Hashem.
Rabbi, can I ask one quick question? I'm sorry. Yes. Is there ever a time where the Kohen is allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash for anything?
There are examples, yes. I think there are examples. Again, this parak is the parak. Everything we need to know for a Kohen Gadol, this is the parak.
Go ahead, okay. Mazel tov, Rabbi. Mazel tov, you should only be blessed with brachos and brachos and more brachos. You deserve it.
Okay.